Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found.
We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Well, we are going to take our first break this morning. And there's a lot more lies and other things that are very important that you need to know about the Word of God that we're going to share with you. So we're going to be right back after this break.
Jesus said to His 12 apostles as He sent them out in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour that ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee yet into another city. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come."
You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found.
Of men, oh, you rescue. the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
And we want to welcome everyone back, and we just want to tell you how glad we are that you're studying with us this morning. And we have a couple guesses on our question this morning. And our question was, how many words shorter is the NIV Bible than the King James? And Servant Mark guessed 10,000, and Gary said over 64,000. And Brother Gary, once again here, is the closest. He's very close on this. The correct answer is over 60,000. And that's not just a little bit. That's a lot, isn't it? And that's why I'll say, you know, and I'm a little bit acrid with that, but I'll tell you that, you know, these books are, if you have them, you can use them to refute something, but they're not the Word of God. They're an attack on the Word of God. And they are certainly very capable of causing someone to backslide and lose their soul. So that's why when I say there would make good toilet paper in the book of tribulation, in the time of tribulation, I don't apologize for that, because they are satanic trash. And these people that have mutilated the Word of God We read what the Bible says about that, and it's a very, very serious thing. Now, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 29 through 31, and we're going to deal with another lion. There's several here we want to talk about. And Mark 12, 29 says, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" And we are supposed to love the Lord with all of our mind. And that means you might want to read and study the word a little bit, wouldn't it? But one of the big lies that's told about the King James translators, they're just portrayed as a bunch of boobs. And how that this morning, now, the modern translators, they're so much more intelligent than the King James translators. They can do such a better job than these people. And they'll say, oh, they did the best they could with what they had to work with. But we know so much more now. And this is such an outrageous lie that it just is somewhere between ignorance and blasphemy, and a lot closer to blasphemy than ignorance. Now, I want to read the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, and then I'm going to talk about three of the King James translators. Esther, chapter 4, verse 13. "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?'" And the Lord raised up Esther at a specific time and a specific place to deliver the Jews in what today is Iran, was then Persia. And God put together men in 1611 in England to give us the King James Bible. And it was a supernatural act of preservation. And I want to talk about a few of them. And I could say also that God has raised our ministry up and you to stand for the Word of God in this day and this time. But one of the things that God did to preserve His Word is John Reynolds, who was the head of the committee, he was a Puritan. And John Boyce and a lot of the others, they were Church of England men. And they were able, because they were Puritans and Church of England men, that nobody was able to get their little doctrinal dibs in there. And the New King James is a perfect example. When everybody on the New King James believed in unconditional eternal security, and I've showed on several occasions the absolute butchering of several texts to pervert it and twist it to say the once saved, always saved doctrine. But I want to talk about two of the King James translators. One is Lancelot Andrews. And Lancelot Andrews could write scholarly in 15 languages. Now, I want you to just think about that this morning. How long would it take you to take a language that you don't know to become so proficient that you could not only read it and speak it, but write something and have it published in that language? This man could do that in 15 languages. He not only knew the Hebrew and Greek, but he knew what was called the cognate languages, the Syriac, all of the other Oriental tongues that showed you the roots and how these words, and really the intricate meanings of these words. It was said of Lancelot Andrews at his funeral that if he had been at the Tower of Babel, that he could have told you what everyone was saying. Now, what we have today are people that if you would lay a Greek alphabet in front of these people, they could not tell you the letters of the Greek alphabet. And people like this are making up lies about scholars and godly men of this degree. And that's what happened with Charles Taz Russell that founded the Jehovah Witnesses. He claimed to have all this great knowledge of how the Bible should be retranslated, and at a trial for perjury, they set a alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet before Charles Taz Russell. He couldn't even read the Hebrew alphabet, let alone translate anything. And the people today that are criticizing the King James translators, they wouldn't have been allowed to carry these guys' books. And if they would have been able to carry them, they wouldn't even known what the books were they read, let alone what was in them. Now, another man that was one of the King James translators was the name of John Boyce. And I really believe John Boyce was perhaps the most brilliant man that ever lived. And I don't say that lightly. And when you look at brilliant men like Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein, they were geniuses, but they were weird. Like Thomas Edison sit on an egg to try to hatch it. You know, they were not functional. John Boyce was a family man. He served as an educator. He served as a Christian minister. And there was another man by the name of Alan Turing. And Alan Turing was a genius. He lived in England in the 1930s. And Alan Turing was a homosexual. And he lived in Manchester, England. And this man would live in squalor. And he would scrounge in the homosexual bars in Manchester, England, go home with complete strangers, live like an absolute dog. But this man was so brilliant, in 1936, he invented the computer in his apartment, and he made a computer out of stuff around his apartment in 1936. Alan Turing invented the computer. And then Alan Turing, somebody, he was attending Cambridge at the time, and they actually, somebody there knew how brilliant he was, and they took him to Bletchley Place during World War II, and he is the man that broke the German Enigma machine and actually won World War II, this little homosexual from England. And it wasn't known until recently, this was declassified, that he did it. But he made D-Day possible, and he was so brilliant, he not only broke the German Enigma machine, but he built a machine that decoded everything the German Enigma machine sent through. Just an absolute genius. But I believe John Boyce was more brilliant than any of these men. And this is what John Boyce did. By the age of 5, John Boyce had read the Bible through in Hebrew. He read the Bible through in Hebrew at age 5. Now, these people that criticize the King James translators, I would ask them, did you read the Bible through when you were 5? Well, how about in Hebrew? And at age 6, John Boyce could write Hebrew. And he wasn't even a teenager when he applied to Oxford, and he wrote his introduction letter to ask to be accepted at Oxford in Greek. And the ability of this man to know and retain knowledge, I think his capacity for learning was greater than Einstein or any of them. And this man, he was one of the final translators that went over everything. And they said about John Boyce in the committee that he knew every word of the Greek New Testament. He knew it in English, he knew it in Greek, he could give you the gender, he could give you the tense, he could give you the cross references, he could show you where it was used in other ancient literature. This guy was just an off-the-hook genius, and the capacity of this man's mind, I do believe it was greater than Einstein, Turing, or any of them. And not only that, he was a godly man that would spend 16 hours a day studying. And, you know, people, you know, just like this person, and I'll just be critical here because there needs to be some criticism. This other person that spreads these lies about the King James Bible, they don't even know the Greek alphabet. I tell you, people need to shut their mouth before they get sent to a devil's hell for all eternity. They don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, where'd you hear this? Well, they either don't know or they got it off the internet. Now, there is a satanic inspiration behind this. And it's time that people really know and understand the truth. And the men, and if you want to buy a copy of Defending the King James Bible, it's for the Bible from today. It'll cost you about $10 and change. And also, I checked the price on the Doctored New Testament. It's $25. I said $10 last week. It's $25. But they're all very reasonable. And there's the name. There were 57 men that were involved in translating the King James Bible. You can see the name of every one of them and a biography. And there's so much lying about this. And another one of the lies is that Francis Bacon was the editor of the King James Bible. Now, I know where this came from. This was started by Manly P. Hall in his book, Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, page 447. And it's an absolute lie. It was started by Manly P. Hall. And you see, the facts are the facts. And you can get the names of every one of the King James translators, every person that touched it, from the start to the finish. Francis Bacon had nothing to do with the King James Bible. There's another lie that says that Robert Flood, who was an occultist and a Rosicrucian, they say that Robert Flood was one of the writers of the King James Bible. Absolute lie. There's another lie that says that William Shakespeare wrote the King James Bible. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, it never stops. Lies, lies, lies. And get the facts. The truth is the truth. When I say that the text was changed in 5,604 places, I can show them to you. When I say these men were not on the translation committee, I can show you the names. You can know these are lies. And people better stop lying. And what we need to understand is that there's a motivation behind this. It's an attack on the Word of God. And it comes always, you can trace them back to the Rosicrucians, the Freemasons, the Roman Catholics, the people that hate the Word of God. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesied lies in my name, I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them that prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. And that's what these things are. It's the deceit of the heart, it's lies. And in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 8, it tells you the source of these prophetic lies, just as 1 Timothy 4:1 did in the New Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they handle the law, and they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. They prophesied after Baal. They were inspired by a devil to prophesy deceit out of their own mind. And these people are just like popcorn popping. When popcorn pops, you don't know where the kernels will fly. And you just don't know what they'll say. And they don't care what they say. They don't care if they can prove it or not. It's just, Katie bar the door, if it sounds good, I'll just blibber it out. You know, and that's not Christian ministry. That is satanic ministry. And that's what we're here to do. We've got to set the record straight. and get some people that are going to stand up in truth and integrity and defend the Word of God. Now, I want to deal, there's a lot of also places where they accuse the King James Bible of being mistranslated. I'm going to deal with one. Let's go to Acts chapter 12, and I could do this on and on and on, but there was just some important things here that we needed to talk about, that there are just so many lies. People, these lies just have to be refuted. In Acts chapter 12, because they're all over, and they're all over the so-called Patriot networks, these so-called networks that are supposedly fighting against the New World Order, they're doing a lot of lying is what they're doing. And that's not all of them, but that's certainly a lot of them. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, this is where people accuse the King James Bible of mistranslating by putting the word Easter in. Now let's read it. Acts 12, 1 through 4. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now that's translating the Greek word pasha, which other places is translated Passover, and the critics of the King James Bible and in the New Bible translations, they say this should be Passover instead of Easter. Well, let's go to Leviticus 23. And the King James Bible has it right, and Westcott and Hort have it wrong. Leviticus chapter 23, and let's read verses 5 and 6. And this is all you have to read to understand the King James translators got it right. Leviticus 23, verse 5 and 6. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. The Passover is on the 14th of Nisan, always has been, still is. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto the Lord 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So the Passover is on the 14th. The next day, on the 15th of Nisan, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is taking place. What did it say in the book of Acts? That then were the days of unleavened bread. It was already the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What does that mean? That on the Passover, it had already passed. So this Pasha was looking forward to the pagan celebration of Easter. And in the Old Testament times, and I've read quotes from Albert Pike, from Sir George James Frazier, Hillsop and others, for a long time, the mystery religions tried to pass off the celebration of the spring equinox as a false Passover. I could read you many, many quotes. I know this. Anybody that knows the mystery religions knows this. The King James translators know this. The Passover was already over, and it was speaking of the pagan celebration of Easter. The King James translators got it right, and Westcott and Hort got it very, very wrong. Now, Romans chapter 10, I'll do one more. I want to talk something about footnotes from hell. Now, we've talked about 8,000 changes in the New Testament alone. I could show you where the New King James Bible, it doesn't even use the Hebrew Masoretic text in the Old Testament. Doesn't even use the same text. But I want to talk just a moment about footnotes from hell. The footnotes in the NIV Bible and the Amplified Bible, the New American Standard, the footnotes are enough to cause someone to backslide and lose their soul. Now, and I'm breaking in a new Bible this morning, and it's not turning as fast as my old Bible, so I'm a few pages are sticking. Roman, but it's got that smell. Don't you love that new Bible smell? I just love it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 9, and I'm going to give you the footnote as it is read in the NIV Bible. And there's a similar note in the Amplified Bible and in most of the apostate translations. Now, this is what it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 9. This is the footnote. And let me read that in the Word of God so we know what we're talking about. Or I'll at least read a portion of it for you. It's the ending of the Gospel of Mark. And this is where it says, and oh, I love it. And I love all of the Word of God. But at the end of it, it says, and these, in Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. And those devils don't want cast out. They shall speak with new tongues. The devil don't like people speaking with new tongues either. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, praise God, and they shall recover. But this is what it says in the note, footnote, in the NIV Bible. Serious doubt exists as to whether these verses belong to the Gospel of Mark. They are absent from important early manuscripts. Now, what they're absent from is B and Aleph, Codex Alexandrius and Codex Vaticanus. They are there in over 5,000 manuscripts. They are absent in the two manuscripts that differ from one another over 3,000 places in the Gospel. Now, if you are a new convert or an old convert, when you read this scripture, what's that going to do to you? Now, last week we talked about Josh McDowell. And Josh McDowell made the statement that we can't know the words of Jesus exactly what they were. Now we've gone from I'm not sure what words he said to where I'm not sure whether he said it at all. And that was Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, is where this footnote is in the NIV Bible. Let me read the whole footnote. Serious doubt exists as to whether these verses belong to the Gospel of Mark. They are absent from important early manuscripts and display certain peculiarities of vocabulary, style, and theological content that are unlike the rest of Mark. His Gospel probably ended at 16:8. Chapter 16, verse 8, or its original ending has been lost. And you can see here that these people don't believe in Bible preservation. Well, probably part of it's lost. This was added in. And I could show you more than we would have time on five programs to talk about how these footnotes from hell and the NIV and the Amplified and the others, the footnotes just pick up what the text does. So this isn't just a little bit bad. It's pit of hell, smells like sulfur bad. And I believe that, and I, you know, we could just go on and on, but I believe that these two lessons are a good beginning to help us understand just what a serious issue this is and how much the devil desires to get people into these false Bibles. But I just want to thank each and every one of you for your love of the Word of God. And also, if you have questions on this issue, put them in the chat room and put them in there, and we'll address them, email them, and we will address these questions and try to answer them, because there are just so many more things. And we'll might take all these questions and do another broadcast on this in the future, because this is something that we need to stand strong in. But let's just close out with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for each and every one that's listening this morning that loves your word. Father, we just pray that this lesson this morning will be a blessing and an encouragement and a help to those that want to stand and defend your word and refute the lies of the devil. Father, we just pray for your strength and your anointing. Father, we just pray for FOJC Radio that you'll just continue to bless us to get the Word of God out and stand strong for you. We know your Word will not return void, and we give you all the praise for everything good that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And we will see you next week on FOJC Radio Church.
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
We declare the kingdom of God is here.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.oneblueraven.weebly.com. Website